It's that time again.
We go beyond the jive.
Join our hosts, John Swan and Natalie B.
Brave the sting of beekeeping to reap the sweet rewards.
All you Hive Jive junkies out there, this is the Hive Jive.
So hello, everybody. It has been a very long time since we chatted. In your world, it has been a week. In our world, it has been 30 seconds.
Exactly. He starts over with, let's record something else. And I was like,
so this one's easy. So we put out a little thing. There was a thing that came out on social media that was just us being goofy. And then you heard it mentioned at the end of last week's episode that I did not realize that my bees were coming now, like right now, like they're on their way. So they're waiting for me to go pick them up, basically. And I was sitting there thinking, my mom actually had asked me, like, well, didn't you order a whole bunch of different types of bees and everything? Like, when are they supposed to get here? And I was like, oh yeah, they should be here somewhere between April and May. I'm not sure. And so like last night I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know what? I should probably look and see, because I haven't gotten any emails, but let me look and see what it said on the dates. And so I start going through two sets of packages. The first ones that I find, they are coming from, we'll say, source A, supplier A. Those two packages are set to ship somewhere around the 8th of April. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's not that far away at this point. And then I keep scrolling and I find the next one. So supplier B is set to ship somewhere between the 13th and the 17th of April. And I'm like, okay, so that gives me a little buffer. Got a couple of weeks in there. But there should be a third supplier. There should be a supplier C. And I keep looking and keep looking. I can't find it. So I finally do a search for its name in my email. And I find that it didn't send me a confirmation the day I ordered them. It sent me a confirmation a day later. And then they sent me tracking information a day after that. So the bees weren't supposed to ship until the end of the month or the beginning of the next month, but yet they did the tracking 2 days after I ordered the packages of bees. And so when I first pulled it up, obviously there was no data there. You pull it up a week later, there's no data there. And I just kind of forgot about it. So when I pulled it up last night and I put in the tracking information, it was like, your packages shipped on the 24th. And I was like, what? The 24th was like... that was like many days ago. Like, it should already be here. Where is it at? And so I look and it says they're arriving on the 29th. But that's tomorrow. By the time you hear this, it was a week ago. But in real time for me, that's tomorrow. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I wasn't expecting any bees to get here yet. Exactly. And what did I do? No, wait. What did I not do?
Not build your hive.
I didn't build any hives. So the hives that are already here are already set up for either a conversion into top bar or it's a straight up Langstroth hive. And I have two Langstroth nukes that are on order. So I plan on using those in those hives. These other ones, I was going to take a couple of bars from my old top bar that have, they don't have comb, but they've got 1 inch of comb that I've left on the top of the bars as a guide.
Yeah, for guides.
So yeah, so I've got that. We have the nifty little top bar comb guides that we bought that I'm going to go through and install. And we've talked about this on the show. It was like, hey, we're going to do these different things. I really thought I had like 2-3 more weeks to do said things.
This is a cautionary tale for me because I've got all kinds of other priorities right now. And before I know it, I'm going to have, I think I have like 40 packages that I
was going to say. Yours has a zero on the other side of it from mine. So you'll be in a lot more of a rush than I will. But now, okay. So this is something though that I kind of have switched this around. I had to rush out immediately and buy the lumber today. And so I got it and I'm going through trying to figure out what to do. I am a little bit constrained by the size of lumber that I was able to get here locally because sometimes it's hit and miss. So my hives, I decided I'm not going to do the 2-foot ones like you guys do in your doubles. And I'm not going to do a 4-foot like I normally would do. I'm going to do a 3-foot in the middle.
Just like to be different.
Well, it was necessity. So I'm going to build 3 foot long top bar hives. They've got the 30 degree angle cut at the bottom. They come up. They are roughly right about 18 inches so that with a 19 inch bar, I've got like half an inch on either side to be able to get my fingers under the edge of the bars. But they're not necessarily going to be that deep because, again, I could not get a hold of 12 inches. Yes, I had to go with the 10 inch. And so I'm like, I'm.
So because now you've got 10 inches, 30 degree angle, you're almost basically at our dimensions. You might as well use our planes.
I basically do, except for the end caps, because I just don't want to cut that stupid angled piece to stick in there. But at the same time, I will say this. I procrastinate, and I do not do it that way. But I used to have a jig that I could actually lay my bottom board on, and so everything was flipped upside down, and I could actually stick my side panels in. It would hold them right in place, and I could go toot, 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 and just screw them right on, no problem. So I didn't need the end piece to be that way. I can put a square one on there and it gives me a place to attach my legs, because I also did my legs on the ends as opposed to underneath. Yours, on the other hand, if you do take the time to actually cut this little angled piece, this half a hexagon
it's
piece.
Really nothing. It's your saw is doing all the work. And you just set it.
I gotta draw it and I gotta get it at the the right dimensions.
Oh, because my saw has a laser.
Right, yeah, so. See, I would have to have a pencil.
I don't even have to draw. What I'm measuring is that 9 1/4. And then I take my saw right there in 30 degree angle. I don't ever trace anything. That's how I do it.
Well, you know what, though? That is also repetition from you doing it a lot.
Right.
Because I noticed something for me whenever I put my end pieces on. Let me finish the thought on your end pieces. Why they're good is because if you cut that end piece and then you set that sucker down, you have created the platform to rest your boards on.
Right.
And then you can just screw them right into place. And it's something to hold it together. Without the jig, because I don't know what happened to the jig. It did not make it in the move. It is not here. So without the jig, it is going to be a pain in the butt to build a hive. And I have to build one to the dimensions I want first before I can build a new jig, because you have to have the item and then you build the jig like a mold off of the item. So there is a benefit to the way that you do your end caps versus how I do mine. Otherwise, it's all the same. Now, the other part of that is when I was putting on end caps, I have noticed, because I have done it so much, I don't have to measure. I don't even have to look. I know exactly where the screws go, and I can almost visualize the angle of the boards underneath there by just seeing the end of it stick out. And I'm just like, beep, 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 and I'm done. Somebody else would have to be like, okay, it's an inch or two in. It's this far over.
I don't want to do it that way, because now I have to measure and mark everything to know where my screws are going. I can't.
And I don't.
Especially on 1 inch lumber, which I don't make my hives in.
Right. Now we got extra padding. Got 2 inches there.
But I'm like, I'm putting my end piece inside the hive body and I'm like eyeballing the center of that 2 inch, right? I'm not measuring anything.
Right. That's what I do with my end pieces when I put them on. I don't have to measure nothing. I can eyeball it. I know it. And I get that sucker straight on every time. Bam, 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 bam. It's repetition. It's habit. After you've done it enough and you trust yourself and you're like, I got this. It's a walk in the park. So there's that. So these are going to be shorter, which that's okay, because I used to have like a foot and a half to 2 foot kind of nuke type bodies that were a little bit bigger than my removal colonies, but not like a full size colony. And I would use them to actually make splits and do other things with them. So this is going to be kind of a hybrid for me. So it's going to be new. I do like the fact that it's 3 foot, because I can pick it up, because that lumber gets heavy.
it does, and plus with honey and the bees and
so that is the project, is to build these 3 foot top bar hives that are going to be a little bit shallower than normal for me, but not a lot, just a tiny little bit, because I'm missing 2 inches extra that would have given a little bit more depth in there, but it should still be plenty of volume for the bees to be able to do their thing. Fingers crossed, we shall see.
That's kind of what we do. So yes, I think that it will work just fine. But that's funny, because tomorrow I know what you're doing.
Yep. and I'm probably going to have an audience, because I am certain that they are going to get here before I am finished. So they're going to be sitting there in their packages going, dude, hurry up. We want out of here. We have been in this thing for 5 days.
Just give us a home. Yeah. Right.
So hopefully between the old comb and well, not the old comb, but the old guide from the combs that I've cut off from those bars. And some of those are the ones from the bear, you know, when he reached in there and destroyed everything. I still have little sections of wax on the top of those. So I'm kind of thinking like two of those and then a couple of our bar guides, the comb guide for the top bar, a couple of those new little apparatus in there. And then the rest is just going to be the empty bars and I'll just, you know, manipulate as they go and we'll see how it works. So fingers crossed that it's enough for them to actually be inside there. Cause the other concept was you and I had talked about, I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or off the show. I was thinking about doing a miniature version of the conversion. There was lots of versions in there. Instead of doing a 5-frame nuke attached to the top bar, I was going to do a 2-frame and attach that to the top bar because I do have Langstroth frames that are drawn out that I could use. To get the packages started. So I was thinking about building these little top bars that had these little 2-frame nukes attached to them that I could just stick the 2 frames in to get them going. And then it's open all the way the rest through the top bar. So I did think about that, but I know that that is not going to happen tomorrow.
No, but that's funny because you're talking my language. You're being creative with all this stuff. I would say, you know, personally, I kind of like doing it with the 8-frame altogether because now I can leave it that way and it's going to accommodate all kinds of things, even the 2 frames or 1 or 2 frames. But the other thing I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start, before I assemble Langstroth boxes, deeps, I'm going to take the fascia, the side of one of them, and I'm going to pre-cut the shape of the top bar hive from Les Crowder, and I'm going to sell those as a kit for no profit, but just kind of like, you know, get my money back. But this way, people that don't want to cut open their hives, their boxes, they can just buy it and put it on their hives. And I think everybody should do that. If you want to create a business in the United States, there's a lot of demand for top bar nukes. There's a lot of demand for top bar hives and very little competition. I would put you on my network of providers so that people around you could find you. So there's a lot of opportunities for a good business there.
He's talking to you, just so you know. Hint, hint.
Yep. Everybody that can't want to do it, I will help them out.
That the only cautionary tale with that is you either need to, like for you specifically, you have your own plans out there and they're free and everybody can use them. So if they have used those plans and followed them exactly, then they could also use these other types of attachments and hive pieces that could be attached and hooked onto it. If you are building them like I do, where it's just like out of necessity, willy-nilly, they're not going to match necessarily. Although if I took my end piece off and changed it, I could make it work. But for anybody else out there, if you have a 17-inch top bar, I'm sorry, change it. No, I'm just kidding. At least you have a top bar, but really the 17-inch ones, you have a lot more challenges and issues and stuff with them. So the 19-inch one, it's a little bit better, but your dimensions may be a little different. Maybe you bought it from a wholesale manufacturer somewhere. Maybe you built it yourself. Maybe you bought it on Craigslist and you're trying to go through and figure out how to get that to work. You may have to do a custom version of it, but if you did your own and you came up with your own method and everything else, and you start putting that out there and you sold the other attachments to go for it, as she said, it's a great opportunity for you. It's a niche market where you can get in there and do stuff.
That's right. But if we manage to standardize with the Les Crowder style dimensions, then you can tap into the whole network and the whole listing on the map and all this stuff. So just consider that.
See, now I still will do this probably. I cheat whenever I do my top bars, when I do my nukes. Let me rephrase that. I cheat when I would grow my nukes that were for sale. I purposely created boxes that were narrower than a 19-inch and shallower than a 17-inch. And I used 19-inch bars and I would grow my nukes out in that so that it did not matter what size hive you had, unless you pulled a Ken or an old school Les where you had like a 22-inch wide bar that needed to go across there or a barrel hive or something. That wouldn't work. You would have to attach this to something else. But for the standardized 19-inch or 17-inch hive, I can sell to either because If it's 17 inches, lop off an inch of either side of the bar. It fits perfectly. If it's 19 inches, you stick it in there. It fits perfectly. And like you were saying on one of the episodes where you have the comb, like if you did a removal, you just have a rectangle of comb. Right. They'll build it out to fit the shape. So my combs may be narrower or shallower than your hive, but that's fine. When you put it in there, they will expand it to fit the rest of the space. So there you go.
All kinds of ideas.
That's right. It's things for you to think about. And while you're thinking about that, I'm going to go build hives because I got bees that are coming way sooner than I thought.
You better get going.
All right, everybody. Well, be alert and aware of when your bees are supposed to be there and where they're actually at in the process. If you've ordered any this year, just be aware of those things. And until next time, be good.
And be mindful.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.
This Hive Jive production was made possible by amazing patrons like you, and we appreciate your support. To all our Hive Jive junkies out there, you truly are the bee's knees.